Thank you, Zeb. It is now 24 minutes to nine. If you were hoping that a vaccine would soon bring to an end the need to count how many people we meet to allow life to get back to something approaching normal, there's a reminder this morning of the danger of false hopes. The trial of the Oxford vaccine has been put on hold as one of those using it has been taken to hospital with an unexplained illness. The scientists involved insist it is a routine precaution and the trial may simply be paused for a few days. Let's talk now to Sir Jeremy Farrar, an expert in infectious disease control and director of the Wellcome Trust, the charity which supports medical and scientific research. He's a member of the government's SAGE advisory group. Morning to you, Sir Jeremy.
Good morning.
Should we be worried by this pause or should we accept the explanation that this is just routine practice?
Yeah, there are often pauses in these vaccine trials. I've been both an investigator and a participant in these trials. And firstly, I think we send all our best wishes to the individual that was involved and wish them a very speedy recovery. But, you know, for me, it underlines just how important it is that these vaccine trials are done properly, that they have independent oversight, that the regulator is involved and we can trust and support that regulator, and that we take these sorts of pauses seriously. Yes, they do happen quite commonly in vaccine trials when you're offering a vaccine to tens of thousands of individuals, but each one must be taken seriously. And in the end, we must absolutely know that these vaccines are safe and we must know that we have trust in the regulator and the independent investigation that will inevitably now, rightly so.
And when you say taken seriously, I assume you mean they've got to check whether the illness in this particular case might have any relationship to the vaccine. The New York Times is reporting that it's a kind of inflammation of the spinal cord, something called transverse myelitis. So that's what they try and do, is it? Isolate the cause.
Exactly. The cause, as far as I'm aware, is not being confirmed yet. But yes, you have to investigate the illness. And then an independent investigation works out whether that illness is related to the vaccine or indeed the placebo or not. And if it's thought not to be related after a thorough investigation, then the vaccine trial can restart safely. That's a common event, but common events need to be taken seriously. But you can imagine if you are vaccinating in the end 30 or 40,000 people with this vaccine, and of course there are a range of vaccines around the world, then inevitably some people will have illness unrelated to the vaccine, or indeed sometimes, yes, related, and we just need to work out what that is. It also underlines for me the critical importance of sharing data internationally. We have 9 trials currently going on around the world, in China, in Russia, in Europe, in America, in Africa, in Central and South America. And it's crucial that all of that data is shared transparently and openly, because in the end, the public must have absolute trust that these vaccines are safe and, yes, effective, and in the end will hopefully bring the pandemic to a close.
You warned a few days ago that we shouldn't put too much hope in the first generation of vaccines, which means we have to concentrate on the other measures that are being deployed to try to reduce the spread of coronavirus. When you hear the government announcing these new restrictions, new laws on the number of people gathering in England, does that feel like it will be enough to deal with what you're seeing in the data?
Yeah, I mean, I've, as you know, been a scientific advisor to the government, but these in the end are political decisions and they're very difficult. It's an extraordinary balancing act. We're currently going into a new phase. That is very clear as we go into autumn and winter. We can watch and learn and listen to what's happening in continental Europe and indeed what happened in the United States when restrictions are lifted. We haven't changed the fundamentals of this virus. It remains as infectious as it was in January. Most of the population remain not immune to it. And we haven't changed those fundamentals with a vaccine or treatments totally. So these non-pharmacological, these physical distancing, washing hands, being safe and getting tested and making sure we isolate if we do have symptoms, these are fundamental to the control at the moment. And the next 4 to 6 weeks, as we reopen schools and we start to try and get the economy going again, which is just so critical, are going to be absolutely pivotal to the sort of autumn and winter we have. So, yeah, I'm very supportive of the restrictions coming in. I sincerely hope they're going to be enough. But in the end, these are going to be national choices we're going to have to make. There are no easy choices, and I would not be surprised if we had to introduce more measures. But we need to prioritise what we're going to open. I think education is the number one priority. Workplaces and jobs are critical to secure, and we have to make sure there is locally owned data and local responsiveness, and we incentivise people into the best behaviours that we want people to take and make it very clear what those behaviours are. So communication strategies and clarity of communication, albeit within uncertainty, is so important.
Sir Jeremy Farrar, Director of the Wellcome Trust, thanks for joining us.